Well, this is a good day. Praise the Lord. The day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. God bless each of you fathers and the ones that weren't able to be here today. We appreciate them, don't we? Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for each of you. Praise the Lord. Who love the Lord with all your hearts. Isn't that beautiful to know that? Hallelujah. So don't have a Father's Day message today. I'm going to talk to you about our yielding to God. Again, I think I don't mean to be harping on something, but I think it's important that we realize the day we're living in right now. We are so near the coming of Jesus. I'm telling you, we are so near the coming of Jesus. And we need to be watching and waiting, as Jesus told us to do. He said, watch and wait. For you know not what hour that I will come. You know not. So watch and wait. Be looking and be ready. Praise the Lord. And that's what yielding is about. Yielding is giving ourselves over to the Lord and letting Him work in our lives and change our lives from what we are to something wonderful that He's working. Our initial salvation, we receive Christ as our Savior. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. He has put the life of Christ within us. But we still have that old nature that we had before we were saved. And as Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again, he said. Because he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we still have that fleshly nature. And the Lord is not saying for us to yield the fleshly nature in that sense. He's saying for us to yield our bodies, which are the instrument. This is the vehicle of either the old nature or the new nature. The new nature is Christ in us. And so as we walk with God, we let that new nature of Christ control us. We yield to the Spirit. We yield to God and let that new nature be manifest in our mortal body. That's what He wants. That's what glorifies Him, even though we have that old nature still. So we're learning to walk with God. That's what it tells us in the scripture many places. Walk in the light. Walk with God. We learn to walk with God. Praise the Lord. A little natural baby has to have proper food and care so they can grow. They can't walk right at first, can they? They can't even crawl right at first. But it takes a little bit for their body to develop. That's the way we are in the Spirit. We may be rather new in the Lord if we are. We haven't grown yet into that place where we can really walk fully, walk uprightly. But we learn. And step by step, as we yield our lives to Christ, we begin to grow. Now, let's turn to Romans 7. And Paul tells us here in Romans 7 about this struggle that we have within us. You see, even though we are born again and we have the life of Christ in us, as I've already said today, we also have another, that old nature that is still there that wants to come in and try to deceive us and cause us to stumble. We're going to go to the 7th chapter of Romans. And we're going to look here now in these scriptures, beginning in verse 15 down, Apostle Paul was talking about his struggle. I don't believe that at the time he wrote Romans that he was going through this kind of struggle. I think he was talking about what he went through when he was a new Christian and learning to walk with God. Because at this point, he's also already been ministering all over the world and in that place over there around the Mediterranean. And he's talking about how when he wants to do good, evil is with him. And how does he get victory over this thing? He speaks of this struggle of the old fleshly nature that we still have that tries to come in, and those thoughts that we have and those things that we go through where Satan tempts us to walk in the flesh and do the evil things. But We know in verse 18, if you'll read that with me, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So if I ask you the question, how many of you really want to walk with God? I think every one of you raise your hand. I really want to walk with God. And I could ask the other question, have you ever had a problem doing that? Yes. Every one of us have had a problem really yielding our lives to God. But do you know, it's not by our might or by our strength. If we try it in ourselves, we're going to fall. And there we are, doing the same things again that we did before we really came to the Lord, or before we got the victory in the Lord. So we know that our flesh is going to battle against us. And he says also there in one of those verses, "I delight in the law of God after the inner man, the inward man, that life of Christ wants to fulfill the will of God." Here the law of God speaks of the will of God. The new life within us is, you know that because when you don't walk in the Spirit, you don't walk in that new life, what happens? The Lord says, reminds you, doesn't he? He says, you know, I want you to walk with me. I want you to yield to me. See, so that inner man is speaking to us, that man of Christ, that life of Christ that is in us speaks to us. Praise the Lord. Notice in verse 24 of this chapter, Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who's going to give us any help? You ever say that? Help, Lord, help. Help me, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to yield my life to you. Help me. And you know what? He is the one that can help us. We can't do it in ourselves. Just decide that right now. I cannot overcome the trials of my life, the things, my habits or whatever. I cannot overcome that in myself. I have no strength. I have no strength in myself. I can't grit my teeth and write New Year's resolutions and say, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a different person. The only way, the victory, is what I'm talking about today. Just yield ourselves to God. Here I am, Lord. Whatever you want to do with me, do it. Here I am. I want to please you. I want to do your will in my life. Just giving ourselves completely to God. And we won't be a wretched man anymore. We won't be a wretched woman anymore when we do that. We learn to walk with God. And he takes care of everything. He doesn't condemn us. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Verse 25, Paul says that he finds the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God." He's talking about my inner being. I want to serve the principles that God has taught me to do. But he says, "With my flesh, my body will still want to follow the law of sin." That's the struggle that there is in the believer's life always. Even though we walk with God for a long time, the devil will try to trip us up, try to get us to think defeated thoughts. That's what he does to me. You know, defeated, how will you be able to do this? How can you do this? And bring about our faults to us, because we all have faults. I hope you realize that. We all have things that are not right before God, but we can't depend on ourselves to make a change. You know, somebody says, "Well, just change. Just change." It's not that simple. The change has to come through the power of God that dwells in us. As Paul says, "I thank God who through the Lord Jesus Christ." So when you are in test, what do you do? Do you lose victory and just say, "Well, I give up, I can't do it"? No, that's a good thing, really, give up. Give up. But then just cry out to God. Just say, "I'm here, Lord. I've got to have deliverance. I need you to help me so I can really yield to God." And he will do that. That's his promise. Praise the Lord. His victory will be realized. That's what we see there in verse 5, 25. So we realize and admit our problem to God, and we pray for deliverance, and we read the Word of God to be encouraged, and we seek help from other people who are victorious and spiritual, that they will pray for us, that we will develop our spiritual muscles and be able to be a victor. Praise the Lord. And we are. Lay hold of that. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about the people in the Bible, and there's so many of the different ones that were great overcomers, really, throughout the whole Bible, and how they cried out to God for help in their distress. You know, when the three Hebrew children were going into the fiery furnace, do you think they were saying, well, how am I going to get myself out of this? I think they knew they couldn't get themselves out of that. They were crying out to the living God. The same with Daniel, so many others. But I got to thinking about this, and I thought, how many times, and I looked it up in the Old Testament, I didn't go ahead and count all the times, but there's so many times there where God called someone to do something, and they said, here I am. What does that mean? You know, when God told Abraham to go and offer his son Isaac, he said, here I am. Here I am. What do you want, Lord? I'm listening to you, Lord. I want to change. I want to do your will. And Jacob, the same way. He said, here I am. Moses, here I am, Lord, when he saw the burning bush. Isaiah is another one that's recorded that he said, here I am. That means they were giving their will and their self over to God. Say, here I am, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want to change, whatever you want to do. I'm standing here before you. Just change me, Lord. Here I am, Lord. So this speaks of that yieldedness to God. Yieldedness to God. Being an obedient person to God. And I thought of little Samuel. You know, he was put there in that tabernacle, the old tabernacle there, to serve the Lord when he was about 2 years old. His mother gave him to the Lord because God had answered her prayer. She was barren. You can all read it, and you all have read it probably in 1 Samuel, the first chapters. And so she took her little child, and she gave him to the Lord. And as he grew there and learned, it says in that chapter that he learned to do all of the chores around in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And then that one night when he was laying there on his little pallet bed, and there were terrible things going on in the tabernacle at that time, terrible evil. The sons of the high priest were committing adultery with the women that would come in to pray. And things like that. It was horrible. And this little boy Samuel's being raised there in that place. And he's laying there on his little bed. And God calls to him and says, Samuel. And he thinks it's Eli, so he gets up and runs in there. You know what his little words were? Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Eli, is what he said first. Here I am. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back. Go back and lay down. And then he hears the voice again. Samuel. And he runs in there. Eli, Eli, what do you need? He was like a little servant. Eli was very old. And he was like a little servant to Eli. And this happened for the fourth time. Eli finally told him there, I think it was on the third time that he told him, go back and lay down on your bed. When this happens again, you say this, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. Remember that? Oh, I love that story. That is so precious to me. That little boy, he goes back, lays down on his bed, and the Lord says, Samuel. And he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. See, the yieldedness, that's what I'm trying to impress. The yieldedness, being willing to hear what God is saying. I've never had that experience where the Lord spoke to me four times. He has spoken to my heart. And I've had visions or dreams of the Lord. But it's so wonderful just to realize the yielded heart, the yielded heart. Samuel became a great prophet in Israel. He was of the tribe of Levi, but he became a great prophet. God blessed him so much and gave him the way to go, didn't he? In James 4:7, it says this, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Here I am, Lord. What is it that you're trying to tell me? What do you want me to do? That's what this means. In that verse, to continue, that says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil tempting you to do something you shouldn't do, or to say something you shouldn't say, or the evil thoughts that he tries to put in our mind, whatever it is, if we come to the Lord and we resist him by the power of God, we first submit ourselves to the Lord. Lord, help me. I'm not able to overcome this in myself. Give me the strength to be a real overcomer in this. Help me to yield myself completely to you. Then resisting the devil is through the power of Christ that he gives to us to do that, not ourselves. You can't stamp your foot at the devil and get him to move out. That's no way it is. It's not, he knows he's stronger than us in our fleshly being. But we are stronger and mighty through God. Scripture says, to the pulling down of strongholds. We are have power in the Lord. And so, praise God. So, let's go to Romans 6, verse 11 through 13. We had about Samuel presenting himself before the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I hear you. What do you want, Lord? And in these verses in Romans 6, we're going to begin reading with verse 11. Apostle Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now the word reckon means to count it as so. We know again, that's not in our own selves. You can say over and over, I will not do that again, I will not do that again, I will not do that again. And we do it again because we're humans and we do those kind of things. So we have to fall on the Lord, yield our lives to the Lord, and just say, here, God, I'm giving it to you. You've got to help me. I don't have any strength. You've got to give me deliverance and help me. And he will help us. So he says, likewise, reckon or count yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We know that Christ paid the penalty for sin on the cross, and we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ by letting him work in us. But he says, also reckon that you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're a new creation. We have a new spirit, which has been given to us, which is Christ in us. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. The word reign means someone that rules. So don't let sin rule us. Don't let sin rule us in our mortal body. That's where sin is manifest from. That we should obey it in the lust thereof, the desires of the flesh. That's what that speaks of. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we see that battle there, that we have those two natures. We still have that old nature and that old life, that old thought pattern, everything. Satan is there and he's tempting us and so forth. But we have a free will And by the grace of God, and not by stamping our foot and our flesh, but by saying, God, help me. I'm not able, and really come to God in earnest prayer that he will give me the strength to yield my members as instruments of righteousness. As in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness unto God. I love this word yield. In 1 John 4:4, we're not going to turn there, but it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. Satan does not have dominion over you. You are set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 19 of this chapter 6 of Romans, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants or slaves, to uncleanness and to iniquity or sin and to sin, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Now, looking at this word yield, it's a beautiful word, and I think I have that on down in my notes. So we will just go on, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute. I'll have to look it on here and see. Praise the Lord. Let's go from here to Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Do you understand reconciled? That means he draws us to himself. He makes us one with him. He redeems us. He reconciles us unto him. Praise the Lord. We're going to read verse 21. If you continue in the faith, let's read verse 22. In the body, he reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Praise the Lord. We were enemies to God, but we were reconciled to God. Isn't that word wonderful? Reconciled. Praise the Lord. He forgave us all of our sins, from all of our sins. In Ephesians 2:12, it says this, that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth, that means the citizenship, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. So he wants us as his children to walk with him and yield to him. Let's go to the book of Romans again. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to tell you something. That as you look around at all the people that are here today and all the people that may ever come in here, realize this in yourself. Every one of us have a battle. There's not one single person here that's the only one that has any battles. We all have battles. We all have moments when our flesh wants to rule us. We all have those trials. The devil will bring the foulest ideas to your head, to your mind, that is imaginable. If he's just trying himself all the time, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. But we have the victory over that in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look here again in Romans 12. I know I brought this to you before and probably several times, but it's just so real to me, this scripture here in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 2. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I want to just say this right here. Do you realize that there are many people dying for Christ in other nations? Many, many martyrs who are giving their lives for Christ. So we aren't having to give our lives, them murdering us some way or punishing us in some way like they do, putting people in prison. He just wants us to yield our body to him. Why? Why does he need our body? He puts his spirit within us. Can't we just yield our spirit? Yes. But the body, this body, we all said this before, is a vehicle of the new life that we have in us. If I don't yield my body, I'm not going to be praying. I'm not going to be reading the word. I'm not going to be studying. I'm not going to hold up my hands and worship the Lord. See, my body is the instrument that God wants to use. And so he says, I beseech you. That word means I exhort you, I beg you, I'm imploring you. Please, he's saying, by the mercies of God. Think of the mercy of God in redeeming us. He has saved us. That mercy of God means his kindness, his favor, his pity, his compassion, his forgiveness that he has shown toward someone whom it is within no power at all to change. We have no power at all to change. We have no power to accept his mercy. And yet, here he is giving his mercy to us. He says, I beseech you by the mercy of God. I beg you, I implore you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word present is the word yield. That is translated other places, yield. That you yield your body over to the Lord. Praise the Lord. It isn't God. God isn't going to force us. I probably told you about my little stubborn daughter. But my little daughter was so stubborn when she was about 2.5, 3 years old. I would tell her, now pick up your toys and put them in the toy box. No. That's what she'd say. I'd say, no, it's time for you to pick up your toys. We're expecting some people to come over, and I want your room to look nice. So help David pick up the toys. No. So I would have to take her arm and push it down to the floor. You will pick up your toys. She wouldn't open her hand. We went round and round. Maybe your kids never acted like that. This little girl had a mind of her own. Praise the Lord. But I love her so much. She's such a precious woman. Such a precious woman. Real to my life. But anyway, I think of that when I think of what the Lord's trying to tell us to do. Pick up your toys. No! You know, that's how we are a lot of times. And he says, yield. Give up your will. Obey me. Do what I want. What I'm trying to work in you. Yield your bodies. Present your bodies unto me. Praise the Lord. That word present, and I brought this before you before, it means to stand beside or to exhibit, to be at hand, to stand at the ready, which is a military term. when Paul says, yield yourself to God, or the same word, okay? It's the same Greek word, but it's presented here, and it's yield in other places. So what does a military person do when they go off and they're part of the war, of the army? They don't just say, I'm not picking up my toys. They say, yes, sir. And they stand at the ready. What do you want me to do? And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to stand at the ready. What do you want, Lord? I want to exhibit you. I want to be at hand for you. What is it you want, Father? Praise the Lord. And I mentioned this to you before in the first chapter of Luke. I probably preached on this several times, but it was really a blessing to me. Gabriel appeared, the angel, archangel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple and told him that he was going to have a son and that they were to name the son John. And both Elizabeth, his wife, and he were very old and had never had children. And so God, Gabriel said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of the Lord. And that means there that he stood at the ready. He was yielded to God. Whatever God wanted him to do, he told him to go and stand on the top of a mountain and say so and so. He did that. He was yielded to God. He did exactly as God said. He stood at the ready. Praise the Lord. And it's the same word there when he said, I stand in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. And so, what does God want our body? He's already got our spirit. He's in here. So he wants us to honor him with our body. He wants us to do the things he asks us to do and let this be like a vehicle. I told you this. This is like a vehicle of the new life of Christ within us. Who's driving the car? The new life of Christ wants to drive the car. Christ wants us to be obedient and follow his instructions and do what he wants us to do. He's in control. It's another term. He's in control. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, Paul says, What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself. You've given your life to Christ. You belong to God. You are his servant. You are his person. Praise the Lord. He says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify the Lord. Bring your body, as it says here in Romans 12:1, as a living sacrifice. He hasn't asked you and I to die for him. Though we want to go to our death living for Jesus. That's what we want. Many of our loved ones have died in the Lord and have gone to their death in real overcoming people. Praise the Lord. That's what we want. And he wants us to live for him and represent him in this world. He says, holy. He's not talking about us trying to be good. It's not that at all. It's letting Christ inside of us change our actions, where we are walking with God and yielding to God. And acceptable. This word, a lot of people think that acceptable just means kind of on the edge. You know, it's okay, but you know, you're acceptable. No, this word actually in the Greek means well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. To be well-pleasing unto God. That's what it means. And Paul says it's just your reasonable service. You see? He owns us. We read the scripture. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Who owns you? You don't own yourself. You belong to God. You are one of his children. You are the part of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wrote on my margin here because I told you a moment ago that God may not require us to die for Christ. But if that would come, would we? Would we stand up and say we're Christians and we wouldn't let them push us? But since 1900, now you think about it, the early church, there were thousands of people crucified. There were terrible persecution of the Christians, and all down through the ages. During the Reformation, there was slaughter of Christians, thrown into prison, all the things. But from 1900 to now, there have been more people martyred for Christ than ever before. The numbers exceed what was once here, we thought, was way back yonder in the foreign countries. Praise the Lord. Notice he says that this is our reasonable service. I think the Amplified Version says it's our rational and logical service. It's it's rational, okay? We belong to him. He bought us. He didn't buy us and throw us out as a slave. He made us his sons. Isn't that something? He bought us from the slave market to never put us back in that market. That's what the word redeem means in the third chapter of Romans. And he says this is our service. This is a divine service to give our body to the Lord and let him work in us. It's a divine service. You think how that pleases God? What he must feel when he sees us walking with him and yielding to him. His heart is just rejoicing, and he's so full of thanks and praise that we are walking with him. Isn't that wonderful? It's our divine service. It's an act of worship. Worship the Lord by giving your body to the Lord, by yielding your body to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So today we're going to sing a song, and if any of you want to pray, come up and pray. If you want to be prayed for, come up and we will be glad to pray for you. We're going to sing a song that speaks of that. Where he leads, I'll follow. As you're singing this song, remember what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. Where he leads, I will follow. I will go. Praise the Lord. I will do what he wants me to do. Hallelujah.
Let's stand and worship the Lord. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. There was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, dearer far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Listen. witness to his loving words. Come unto me, weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow Jesus every day. Sing it again. Here we go. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.